It's great to be with you here today. And it's funny because the other side of the him being on vacation and like that side of him having that fun was me, because I didn't plan on speaking today. It was actually him that was supposed to speak, because he came back on Tuesday and he actually had time to prepare. But from before, he was like, "Jonathan, I need you to speak for me." And I'm like, I actually had other plans. I planned to be at a conference that my friend invited me to. And he's like, "Well, I guess I'll just have to prepare in Italy and where I'm supposed to be having fun." And I'm like, "Well, I guess I'm speaking." It's great to be with you guys here today. I love being up here. I love preparing to be up here. But I take it extremely, extremely seriously. And every time I'm up here, my heart's going, because I know that I'm delivering God's word. And I know that I take that very seriously. And I take the words that I say up here very seriously. Before I get into where I got this message from or anything else that I have to say today, my high school teacher is here, Dr. Phillips, and every time I speak and I tell her, let her know that I'm going to speak, she comes to my messages. So like, I want to give a clap up for all the good teachers that we have, But where I got this message from today, it's a message that's been on my heart, and the theme that's been on my heart for a long time now. The pastor of the church that I went to in Gainesville, his name is Mike Patz, of Greenhouse Church. He spoke this message, and like, he spoke a lot of messages while I was up there that had an impact on me, and I've never met him, but this message was important to me. So before I start, it's important to know that a lot of the stuff in here is like taken right out of his notes, or taken right from him. So before anyone can say, "Oh, Jonathan plagiarized the message," and like point out to me, I'm letting you know up front that I plagiarized the message. And a lot of it doesn't come from me. So without further ado, I'm going to get into the scripture, and I'm going to read from 1 John 1:3-10. We proclaim to you what ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. I want to hear you guys say fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. All right, let's pray. Jesus, help. Amen. So I believe that we have a problem. We have issues in our society, and a lot of these issues are seen in the form of strife between people, and like struggles between people, where you see people just don't get along like they're supposed to get along. And we see this in that half of marriages end in divorce. We see this in that you see conflict in families, where kids go away to college and they never want to come back to see their parents, and we see problems with parents and kids. We see problems with coworkers. We see problems all across the world and humanity between peoples. Like, if you ever seen like a Facebook, or you ever seen like a Facebook argument, you never see like people, like two people are going straight at, when people go, two people are going straight at each other, like back to back to back, you never hear the person that was wrong say, "Oh yeah, I was wrong, you were right, you made some nice points." It's always just an antagonizing thing, and this is a problem in our society, and we see it in racism, we see it in sexism, we see it in gender differences that we have, ageism, we see it in all these isms and schisms. And we see that there's a conflict between people. But I want to let you guys know today that this is only a symptom of the problem, and this is not the deeper thing that lies below and where it comes from. So when we try to solve the surface of the problem without going deeper, it's like giving somebody a Tylenol when they have cancer in their brain. It's like, it will relieve the immediate headache, but there's a deeper problem that we need to address. And what I'm trying to get at today is that Adam and Eve never had problems with each other until they had a problem with God. is that Adam and Eve never had problems on a relationship scale like this, side to side, until they had a problem this way. And I have two really big points in this message, then I'll be done. But the first of these points is that we cannot have fellowship with one another until we have fellowship with God. We can't have this fellowship, this loving relationship that we have with one another in the way that we're supposed to have it until we fix the relationship this way with God. And I thought, like, when I first heard him say this, Mike Pat say this message, I thought that was crazy, like, because we talk about fellowship all the time. We have muscles group, like, where all the men go out and hang out and play games and stuff. We went bowling the other day. I'm like, yeah, that's fellowship. Like, every time I come to church, I talk to people that are Christians. That's fellowship. When I hang out with Andrew and Omar and we play video games, that's fellowship. But it really came that I had an incomplete view of what fellowship was supposed to be, or like a half-sided view of what fellowship really means and what it truly is. And we use the word fellowship a lot, like we say the words like doing community with each other or living life together, but we never really examine what that truly means. So that word up there that has really weird and hard to pronounce is called koinonia. And it's the word used for fellowship in the Greek. The Bible writers thought it was, they obviously thought it was pretty important because they wrote it 4 times in the passage I just read and 20 times in the whole Bible. And what koinonia is being in agreement with one another and being united in purpose and serving alongside each other. And that's what it's described as. And when you look further into it, every time the Bible says something to do to one another, that's what the koinonia relationship means, and that's how it reflects. So I'm going to re-list a couple stuff and they describe how this koinonia is supposed to be a part of our lives, because the Bible said this is what brings the joy. It says, when it says be devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, accept and serve one another in love, be kind and compassionate with one another, counsel, encourage, and spur one another on to love. Offer hospitality to one another and love one another. So this fellowship is really deep. It's not surface level, just saying hi and byes. And it's based on sharing and being transparent with each other. And I realized that a lot of us in church, I'd say most of us in church, do a lot of fake fellowship. A lot of fake transparency. It's very possible, very probable, that many people, when they come to church, they do no fellowship at all. Like, someone will ask you, you'll come in and sing some songs, and someone will ask you, hey, how was your day? I mean, how was your week? And you're like, it was all good. My week was great. Like, God's good. Nothing's wrong. Like, I'm too blessed to be stressed. We hear stuff like that. And, like, when you go through that, you didn't really share anything. Like, we weren't transparent, or you didn't give anything. And that's we're not having full fellowship. It's fully possible for us to go to a Bible study, or then we'll have people in our Bible study for years, and we don't fellowship with one another. That we just look and learn scripture together, but we don't truly know each other. And we really have a culture based on this fake sharing and this fake deepness. But John said that we have this fellowship so that our joy may, this koinonia, so that our joy may be complete. And that our joy is complete in this fellowship. And that I believe that being known by others is extremely important. And it has a extreme impact on the way our lives feel and the joy that we have in life. That's like why when prisoners, like the worst type of people, like the worst way you can punish someone like in this country is like to put them in solitary confinement. Like in prison, when you go to solitary confinement, you're there by yourselves, and they say when people are in that confinement, they go crazy. Those are the psychotic people. Those are the people that mutilate themselves and try to kill themselves, because we need other people. And we see that like this koinonia relationship is like, it's hard to do all the fullness of all those things with people that we like. You know what I'm saying? And like, it's hard to do that stuff with the people that we like. We see because the marriages end in divorce. We see because friendships break up. We see because all these families don't get along. And we see that it's hard to do in people that we like. And can we imagine trying to do that with people that we don't really get along with too? know what I'm saying? How much harder is that? Like, have you ever, like, you were, like, friends with someone, like, you thought they were cool, and, like, you ended up hearing who they voted for, and you're just like, you, like, you learn their political affiliation is like, you, like, I liked you, and now I hate you. Like, I thought we were cool. And, like, just, like, smaller stuff that, like, I'm a Gator fan, and Mr. Hobbs over there is another fan of a worse team. So it just shows that, like, there are problems that we have with one another. Like, races butt heads, and we see it, and we see the effects of this. But we know that when we have God, like, when we have God, and when we have a relationship with Him, they know that these things don't matter, because I know He's my brother, and I know I love Him because He's my brother anyways, even though we don't agree on certain things. But it only comes from that relationship with God. And we share the same Redeemer. But I believe when we try to solve the conflicts that we have in humanity, I believe when we try to solve those, we are only really attacking the symptom. The symptom of a much larger problem that, until we address this conflict, this strife, this discord, is still going to last. I believe the real problem that we have is our discord with God. The true problem that lies beneath is our discord with God. In the same way that many people think they have a good marriage until, like, someone divorces the other one, and the whole time, the person that got divorced is like, what happened? Like, I thought everything was good. Like, I thought everything was cool. And the wife is like, you didn't even know me. Or, like, when we see kids go away to college, and we see, like, their parents are trying to, like, talk to them and get in touch with them. Or even when the kids are at home and their parents are trying to in touch with them. And, like, why won't, like, he like, talk to me? It's because you don't even know me. And we see the same thing when people leave Bible studies, we leave churches. Like, it's like, I thought they were cool. Like, they were coming along. But, like, a lot of times we don't even know that person. And I believe the same thing will happen on the day of judgment. God is going to say to some people, depart from me, you don't even know me. I believe many of us don't really know and have our true koinonia with God, and have the true fellowship with God. And God's going to say, it doesn't matter your theology. Like, yeah, you had a lot of Bible knowledge, you had a lot of religiosity, and you had a lot of all that stuff, but did you know me? And I don't believe we can fully reconcile the problem that we have with each other until we have this koinonia and fellowship with God. And I'm going to go to part two. This is the second part of it's only two parts in the sermon, and we're heading to the second part. We cannot have fellowship, koinonia, with God until we tell the truth. From verse 5, it says, this is the message that we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we will have fellowship with each other. If we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we will have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we claim we have no sins, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. I believe that our koinonia with each other is directly correlated with our koinonia, our fellowship with God. And until that relationship is settled, I believe we're gonna have strife with each other. And I'm not gonna get to the biggest root of the problem. I talked about the surface. We talked about the surface, but now let's talk about the cancer. Let's talk about the thing that's in these relationships that is tearing us apart from God and tearing us apart from other people. And this is the single greatest thing that destroys and breaks apart peoples and relationship. And I want to let you know that thing is sin. There is nothing more divisive, there is nothing more subversive than sin in our lives, and it tears us apart from other people. Because when sin enters the picture, we start thinking of ourselves more than others. When you're in a relationship with another person, and it's not necessarily a romantic relationship, but when you're in a relationship with another person, and sin enters the picture, it causes a separation, because now you're thinking about yourself, and you're not thinking about that other person anymore. Oh, we think about sin, when we have sin on us, we're not thinking about our relationship with God anymore. We're just thinking about ourselves. Like, for example, like, if you have, like, a boyfriend or girlfriend, like, and you really want to kill your fellowship with them, like, you just really, like, don't care about it. You really want to kill your fellowship with them, go have sex with them. And, like, some people are like, you know, that's, you're crazy. You don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I've been having sex with my boyfriend or girlfriend for six months now, and everything is okay. You can get cancer, and it'll take you 7 years, but you're still going to die. If you get what I'm saying, this sin thing is serious and it's pervasive. They say that God said that the wages of sin is death. That we're going to pay for these sins with death. Death to relationships, death with our relationship with God, and we're going to pay for these sins. And the same thing happens in other relationships. With friends, how many relationships are destroyed? How much of our koinonia is destroyed when we gossip against each other? When we gossip against each other and hang on to pettiness and hold grudges, how many relationships have you seen destroyed, friendships have you seen destroyed by that? How many parents in their households use excessive pride and won't open up to their kids, and you see them grow further and further away? And we see them, our parents that rule their households with an iron fist and don't let their kids have breathing room or live, and we see them go away and relationships destroyed. How many husbands and wives live lives of secrecy? Like within their relationship, whether it's secrecy about other people or secrecy about finances, and we see it just destroy relationships. And I can go on for days really about how sin tears us apart. And we see how real it is when we look at racism. We see how races just keep butting heads. We see sexism. We see how it just tears us apart. So, like, it's important for us to realize how much God hates this sin. How much, like, even a little white lie, like, we say even a little white lie, it won't hurt. But how many, like, think about it this way. How many marriages have been hurt by a man, say, I'm going to give an example, a husband, he stays late at work because he's working with a coworker, and say the coworker's attractive, even though nothing happened, and he goes home and he tells his wife, "Oh, I was late because I was in traffic because I don't want to tell her I was with a attractive coworker." Even though you did nothing wrong, you introduce a lie to the situation, and then when you're staying late with that coworker multiple times, now you really don't want to speak about it because you told the lie in the first place, and then the lie keeps building and building, and we're living lives of secrecy. And we're living these lives of secrecy, and we're living these lies that tear us apart. And so the big application, my dad's like a huge application guy in sermons. Like, he always gets, every time like I bring a message to him, I'm always like, what do you think? Like, he's always like, so what do you do with it? Like what are you going to tell them to do? Like, what's the next step forward? Like, how, like, what next? Like, what are we going to, how do I apply this to my life? And that answer for me is simple, and the answer is to tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? The answer is to tell the truth. How does this apply to my life? How does this apply to my life? Tell the truth. Like, how do I apply this scripture? What is the scripture trying to tell me? To tell the truth. And I believe that the issue is not that we sin and fail and blow it. Like, because that's obvious. We're going to sin and we're going to fail and we're going to mess up. But I think the true problem is that we sin and fail and blow it, then lie about it. If you get what I'm saying. When the Bible says living in the light, like, as God is in the light, then we all have fellowship. I don't believe that's saying you can't sin, you can never sin at all, you'll never have fellowship. I believe what he's trying to say is that living in the light doesn't mean never falling into sin, but it means when you do fall into sin, we're bringing that to the light. We're not going to live lives of secrecy, and we're going to bring it to the light. Because fellowship and koinonia, the way those things work, is that means I know you, and you know me. Like, I'm transparent with you, and you're transparent with me. Like, I'm transparent with God. I'm transparent with God. He knows me, and I know him, and we're seeing each other truly for who we are, but I can't know you if you're in the dark. If you get what I'm saying? I can't know you if you're living a life of secrecy or you're living a lie and you're hiding in the corner. I can't know you if you're wearing a mask. If you're wearing a mask, I can't see you, I can't know you. And the same thing is true, I believe, in our relationship with God. Until we live in the truth and tell the truth about our secrets and our sins and all these things that we hold down deep, I believe our relationships will continue to be fractured. Like, we keep all these sins in and all these secrets and all these things done against us. I believe a lot of us, most of us in here, have things that we've done or are done to us, or that we, things that we have that we just never tell anybody. That we're just scared that if anyone ever knew this about me, or if this specific person knew this about me, it would change their whole perception of me, and everything would be messed up. But I'm trying to tell you today that something beautiful happens when we take off that mask. When we live in the truth, there is something beautiful, there is something real that happens. And I'm not talking about like that artificial sharing where, like, you know, that sometimes happens in Bible studies or groups where, like, they ask, like, when people ask people, like, have you struggled with this? And, like, it's like, oh, I lied today. I told a lie. You know what I'm saying? Like the sins that are easy to share. But I'm talking about the things that we hold deep and the things that get us down at night, and those things, until we let them go, we're gonna stay in the darkness, and we're gonna stay in the absence of joy with a disconnected relationship with God and disconnecting relationships with other people. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, if we let it go, if we let the cat out the bag, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all unrighteousness. And it's not until we let it out the bag that we can be forgiven and feel the lightness and feel the joy and feel the koinonia with him and other people that we get from letting it go. And I'm going to tell you what would go on. Like this message is really important to me. And I'll tell you what go on in my head when people said stuff like this. I'd be like, no, you're crazy, because the stakes are too high. Like, if I tell anyone, like, what I've done, or, like, if I tell anything what's happening, then they'll look at me different, and the stakes are just too high, like, and my position might be messed up, and people will be like, I may lose my job. It's like, the stakes are too high, I just can't do it. And I'm going to let you know something, that the devil is going to be in your head tempting you to hold on to that secret for dear life, because he doesn't want you to be free. He's gonna tell you to keep it. Don't let it go. He wants you to hold on to the sin. He wants you to hold on to the struggle so he can keep you captive to it. He doesn't want you to be free. He wants you to stay in that cage. The cage that God already freed you from, nonetheless. He wants you to stay in that cage and be captive to your sin. He doesn't want you to get out. A quote from a book that I'm reading, it's called The Bondage Breaker. And it says, Satan's perpetual aim is to infiltrate your thoughts with his thoughts, to promote his lie in the face of God's truth. He knows that if he can control your thoughts, he can control your life. He wants to promote his lie in the face of God's truth. And he's going to be in your head saying, don't let the truth go. The truth is gonna hurt. The truth is gonna mess your life up. But the Bible says, and the God I know says, that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is the thing that's going to set you free. And I just wanna ask, how many secrets are in this room today? How many things that we have that we can't let anyone else know? So many things that we pretend to have a hold on, but we really don't. Addictions that we pretend to lie to ourselves even, and say that it's not real, but it's really there. How many things that we just can't let go? But I'm trying to encourage you guys today that today is the day where you can be free, where you can experience freedom in Jesus. And, like, this is not the kind of freedom that you could put a price on. Like, you could be a billionaire, like, living with all the money in the world, but if you don't have this freedom, it's worthless. If you're a billionaire living with sin and shame and living in the dark, and you can't feel the fullness of joy that's in Christ, I'm telling you, it's not worth it. I'm telling you that nothing is worth the freedom, the joy, the lightness you feel when you're living in the truth. And I'm gonna give like a little a little analogy of how it feels to be like how the cleansing feels. A couple of years ago, I was at camp. We were at camp with all the kids, and we took them out into Leesburg, Florida, to minister to them for 4 to 5 days. And it was the first day of camp, and everyone who's been there knows when you're getting on the bus, it's extremely sweaty. Like, it's extremely sweaty and it's extremely dirty. Everyone's miserable. So we finally get there. We go through the whole day of camp, and I had to do something else that night. So I finally get back to the cabin. Everyone's asleep. It's like 2 a.m., right? So I decided, you know what? I'm really tired. I'm just going to go to bed. Like, I'll take my shower in the morning. No one has to smell me. It's not that big of a deal. I'll just go to bed. And then when I went to take off my shirt, I smelled myself, and I realized how dirty I actually was. Like, I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you've been, like, appalled by your odor. Like, your own odor is like, I smell disgusting. Like, I smell gross, and I'm like, I don't want anyone to, like, smell me like this or see me like this. So I decided to go take that shower. And everyone knows that feeling when they take a shower after they were, like, disgusting, and how nice and how great that feels. And that's the feeling, and that's the joy that can't be compared to anything else that we get, that lightness, that freedom that we get when we live in the truth. When we tell the truth, we feel the lightness, and we feel the clean. We feel the joy. But we can't get that until we tell the truth, until we live in the truth. The truth that I know today is that we had nothing in common with God. Like us and God, like, we had nothing in common. So he became a man to have something in common with us. He became a man so he could have that koinonia, that fellowship connection with us, me and God, me and him, me and Jesus together. He came down here so we could have that connection with each other, so we could have that connection with everyone. That's the reason we can counsel one another, we can love one another, and spur one another on to love, and be compassionate and kind with one another, because he showed us and did it to us first and opened that relationship. And now that we still have all these differences between us, but we know that I have a God that loves them, and my God loves me, and now I can love them, even though I'm a Gators fan and he's a whatever fan. Even though I may be this political party and this person may like this political party. Even though I'm white and he's black, even though I'm black and he's white, even though I'm a boy and she's a girl, we can see that these relationships are tied together because we're connected by the love of Jesus Christ. And we're saying that even though all these things are there, we're connected and we can share our burdens with one another. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. These relationships that we form with each other, that's where the fullness of joy comes from. It comes from, yes, I may suffer with this. Like, yes, I may be down with this, but I know my brother, my sister is gonna come build me up. Could you imagine a marriage where the wife is struggling with this, and she's real and she's transparent with her shortcomings and takes it to her husband, and now the husband can help build the wife up. Then the wives can help build the husbands up, and parents can build up children, and children can help build up their parents. And we have relationships that have this koinonia and fellowship, which brings the joy. This is what we can experience if we decide to tell the truth, and decide to live in the truth. I want the praise team to come up, and I want Greg to play. We had a conversation about this, and play indescribable, because the thing is that Jesus saw the depths of our heart, and he loved us the same. And every time I hear that, it impacts me in a way that, like, I heard it behind stage today, and, like, it hit me in the same way it always does, where you get the goosebumps and you feel the nice feeling, because we know that we don't deserve that love. We know that we don't deserve this joy that we're going to get when we finally decide to let the cat out of the bag and not be a prisoner to our sins any longer. Could you imagine a Bible study where people are fully sharing and fully being, showing the fullness of what they're feeling? You know, we have a lot of people confessing like surface stuff at Bible studies. Could you imagine if someone came up and said, I have a problem with pornography? Or said, I have a problem with having sex outside of marriage. I have a true gossiping problem. Could you imagine if people decided to let the walls down and let Jesus come in and fix the situation, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and give us the freedom that we really want, the freedom that we really need? I believe today a lot of people need to be set free. Like, and it's not gonna be one of those things like if you don't come up, like I'll be really sad or I'll be offended. That has nothing to do with me, because I know that God is speaking here today. And I know he's speaking to the hearts of people in here today. Well, if you don't do it here, I need for you guys to be living in this truth and living in this life. Because it's not because I want anything from you, you know what I'm saying? I want something for you. It's that this grace, this feeling of freeness is like nothing you could ever experience anywhere else. So if it's one person this week, I want you to tell the truth, to decide to tell the truth. But husbands, tell your wives the truth. Wives, tell your husbands the truth. Kids, tell your parents the truth. Parents, tell your kids the truth. Friends, tell your friends the truth. That, because I believe when we finally do this, when we finally take this step into the truth and into the light, that we'll be free. And we said, this power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Jesus already broke the chains. The chains are, and when you accept him, the chains are gone, the chains are shed off, and now we're free. But we have the choice that we're not gonna live in that sin life anymore. We're not going to be held captive by that sin anymore. That we're going to be in the freedom that he has laid out for us. I have two last truths for you guys before I walk off the stage. And like, if you've never heard that, like, you've heard this message before and you're like, yeah, whatever. Or you've heard it and forgot it. The truth is that we're really bad. We're really bad. Like, we know that we sin and fail and blow it. And we know sometimes we sin and fail and blow it and lie about it. Like, we know that we're really bad. Like, I used to get really offended when people, like, called me a hypocrite or whatever. But now, like, I realize, yeah, you're right. I stink. And you guys stink, too. The Bible says no one's righteous, not even one. And the truth is that we were so bad that Jesus had to come down and die for us to take that sin on him. But the good part about that is that he loved us so much he didn't mind doing it. He loved us so much that he said, I'm going to take the sin on myself so that even though I get no gain from it, it's from the, for them. And I love them so much. And we know that he saw the depths of our hearts. And he loved us the same. And he still wants to give us that gift of a koinonia with him and a koinonia with each other. Guys, I encourage you, don't leave here today until you have that discord fixed. And until we can stop trying to solve the symptom and solve the real problem. And get down to the real problem to stop the secrecy, to stop the lies, to stop the bondage. Because my God, not if you watch Game of Thrones, Daenerys Targaryen is the real breaker of chains. He's the real breaker of chains. And I believe we have that freedom in him. So I'm gonna pray. If you have business to do with the Lord, please do it. If you have someone to tell the truth to this week, even if you can't say it, like, you write it down and text it. Say, I've never told anybody this, but. And decide to be a people that are characterized by his truth. Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing these people here. Thank you for bringing your people here. Thank you for dying for us. We didn't deserve it. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to cleanse us. to give us relationships with each other and stop the strife that plagues our world. When we decide to live in the truth and be in the truth and be with and just be a part of this freedom that we have in you. I thank you. And we're going to have some people in the front if you need to talk to. But today, I want you guys to tell the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.